لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين. الصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين حبيبنا وحبيبنا وحبيب محبوبنا رحمة للعالمين أبي القاسم محمد.
اللهم صل على محمد وآل محمد.
الصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته.
وعليكم السلام.
All praise belongs to Allah Ta'ala, who has created us, who will one day take our life, who will raise us again on the day of judgment, where we're going to be judged on the actions that we have done in this world. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has given us the opportunity to have the role models like Imam Hussain alayhi salatu wasalam. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has guided us towards Imam Khomeini alayhi salam. All praises belong to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has put their love inside of our hearts. The topic which we are discussing is Karbala, yesterday, today, and tomorrow. Karbala yesterday was just an event. It was an event that was a tragic event. In that event, the grandson of the Prophet was martyred. The family of the Holy Prophet was taken prisoner. The family of the Holy Prophet was brutally massacred. It was an event that was tragic, but that event had some lessons, which were, as one of the brothers was saying this morning, is universal. The lessons of Karbala are not specific just for the Shias, but the lessons of Karbala are for any oppressed being on the face of this earth. And Karbala is the warning for every oppressor of the world, that every oppressor should know that if you oppress the individuals that are on truth, right, justice, you might seem to have a victory, but for eternity you will suffer, and your name would be synonymous with injustice, cruelty, inhumanity. For us to be able to come together in the Aza of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, there is a body to this Aza and there is a soul to this Aza. Like the Salah has a body and the Salah has a soul, Karbala also has a body and Karbala has a soul. The body of Karbala is that you should feel sad inside of your heart. Yesterday, when we were going through some of the history of Karbala, I saw my little brothers and sisters who did not seem sad, but they had smiles on their faces. Who looked at each other and they were talking and they had smiles on their faces. You see, try to imagine, if I talk about Bibi Sakina, try to imagine in your mind a six-year-old. You can imagine your sister, if you have a six-year-old sister, who had to go through the difficulties that Bibi Sakina Swamilaha had to go through. Try to imagine if you have a little brother who is 6 months or a year old, as if your brother was to be in the hands of your father, and a tear and an arrow would come and cut the neck, where the blood will start coming out of the neck into the hands of your father. Try to imagine the emotions that Bibi Zainab Salamullahi had to go through when she saw her brother go in the last sijda and have his head come back on a spear. If you cannot cry, then at least you should feel sad. But not to even feel sad and actually to smile is a disrespect to the mourning of Imam Hussain Sahib's son. It's a disrespect to Imam Hussain Sahib's son. When we do aza of Imam Hussain, Bibi Fatima Zahra Salamun Alayha,
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
She has an eye on us. She's looking at us. That these people who have come together to mourn my son, how are they? Do they feel the sadness inside of their hearts, or are they coming just for the sake of coming here? So I understand that, you know, maybe you're too young to cry. Maybe, you know, you're only 5, 7, 8 years old and you don't understand. But you know how to cry. You know how to make a sad face. Even if you make a sad face, you will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Right now, you do not commit sin because you are not obligated to perform the duties. But whatever good you will do, you will be rewarded for that. Because in our audience, we have our little brothers as well, then we have our sisters, then, you know, we have teenagers, we have in the early 20s, then we have our elders. It becomes difficult sometimes to give everything to everybody. But inshallah ta'ala, if you come here and you at least have the body of azab, which is you feel sad inside of your heart that Imam Hussain Sahib Islam was martyred, you will still receive something. Crying is part of the body of azab, meaning when you cry, someone will ask you the question, why are you crying? If you look sad, people will ask you, why are you sad? And the reason why we cry is because we want people to ask us. We want people to ask us, people who go around here, outside in the hallway, we want them to ask us, why are you crying? Why are you crying so loudly? What has happened? At that time, we would have the opportunity to tell them that the reason why we are crying is because there was a person by the name of Hussain. He was martyred in the battlefield of Karbala with little kids. And they will say, why did that happen? We will tell them that at that particular time there was a tyrant who was oppressing the individuals. And Imam Hussain went to help the oppressed. And he sacrificed everything that he had in the name of justice and truth. That will attract people towards Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. When we do matam, matam is the body of the azab. The soul of it is that when we do matam, people should look at us and say, why have you gone, why have your emotions gone so much out of control that you are beating your chest? We can tell them the reason why our emotions have gone so much out of control and we feel so sad is because of the event of Karbala.
Nare Salawat.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
An analogy, you know, before the war, they used to have drums. They would have those drums that would go, and these drums would make the sound, and the oppressor or the enemy on the other side would hear the sound of that drum, and they would feel scared. The hands that go on the chest is that drum beat that is telling the oppressor that this noise, this voice that you hear from our chest coming is the drum beat of those drums, which is supposed to put fear inside of your heart to stop oppressing. Every single aspect of the azab, Imam Hussain has a body and a soul. A body without the soul is no good. And a soul without the body is no good. The alam of Hazrat Abbas والسلام, has the body is the cloth. The hand that's on top of the alam. Does anybody know what that symbolizes? We will not do allegiance to any of the oppressors of the world. The hand is telling that we will not do allegiance to any oppressor in the world. That is the soul of the Alam of Hazrat Abbas alayhi salatu wasalam. He teaches us loyalty. He teaches us wafa. He teaches us to keep our promises. It is a symbol that is of faithfulness. When we look towards it, when we kiss it, we are supposed to have the soul of wafa, the soul of faithfulness go through by that sign.
Narai Haidari.
Yari.
Yet, we see that we have only kept the body and we have let go of the soul. Yani, so many times we touch the alam of us at the past, but that has not made us faithful. Yani, if you give time to someone to be there at 7:30, they will ask you, is it PST? Pakistan, finger time. PST basically means 3 hours difference. You know how you have LA, 3 hours to Toronto. Is that this person will show up about half an hour, 45 minutes, 1 hour late. Someone who has touched the alam of Hazrat Abbas cannot break a promise. Someone who has kissed the alam of Hazrat Abbas cannot break a promise. Because that is the shan, that is the respect, that is the loyalty to the alam of Hazrat Abbas. That we need to be faithful. Someone who cries tears for the sadness, for the musibah of Imam Hussain Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, that person knows that these tears that are coming out of my eyes, I cannot be an oppressor. Because I am crying for the oppressed. When I'm crying for the oppressed, I cannot be an oppressor. And if there is an oppressor, I need to do what Imam Hussain did. See, it's very easy to say to the Yazid of yesterday that he was wrong. It's very easy to tell the Yazid of yesterday that he did atrocities. It is very easy to tell the Yazid of yesterday that he did injustice. It is very easy to say to the Yazid of yesterday that you took religion as a game. It is very difficult to say to the Yazid of the time that you are unjust. To say to the Yazid of the time that you are oppressor. That you are doing injustice. That you are doing massacres. Very difficult. The same difficulty level as if somebody was to sit down on the minbar in Masjid Kufa, in the mosque of Kufa, and to say something against the Yazid that was alive. Because to say something against the Yazid that was alive at that time was a death sentence. If you say it at that time in Masjid Kufa, it is as if you are signing on your death sentence. And today, it is just as difficult. If we say something about the oppressors of the world today, we are signing our death sentence. If someone says of the oppressors, that oppression that has been going on, they are putting their family on in jeopardy. They're putting their wealth in jeopardy. They're putting their peace in jeopardy. Is that easy? It's not easy. To be in the house of the greater Satan and then to say that what you are doing is an oppression. This is the lesson of Karbala. Muhammad is darim as Karbala darim. Imam Khomeini Ramtullah, he said that whatever we have is from Karbala. They learned from Karbala, while others, they took the soul and the body. If you ever have seen Imam Khomeini cry on the musibah of Imam Hussein Sadustan, it was as if a mother has lost a child. And I've told you this before, for Matam he had said that I would like to kiss the hands of those people who do Matam, that go red by doing Matam, I would like to kiss it. One of these four elders, Ziaul Haq, you've heard the name. He visited Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi. He came over to him and said, you know, you should try to keep good relations with the superpower. You should not say something too much to the superpower. Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah Alayhi replied, our relationship with the superpower is fine. Our relationship with the superpower is fine. Ziaul Haq, his face. Your relationship with the superpower is fine? Yeah. He said there's only one superpower and that is Allah, and our relationship with him is fine.
Nare Hadri!
Nare!
Lav Salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad.
There is no other power than the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. There is no other superpower than the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He is the only power. He is the supreme power. He is the Almighty. And our relationship with him is fine. You should also get your relationship with him
fine.
Salawat for Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Ali Hadri.
Ya Ali.
There is a person who spoke because he learned the lessons of Karbala. And the other person spoke as if he did not know anything about Karbala. There's only one superpower. There's only one fear. Fear, F-E-A-R. Spell it for my brother. F-E-A-R. F stands for false. E stands for evidence. A stands for appearing. R stands for real. Fear becomes false evidence appearing real. Everybody's scared of the superpower. Everybody's scared of the superpower. What kind of fear is that? False evidence appearing real. I was coming from Toronto to Dallas. American Airlines, I was feeling really cold. And I asked the air hostess, I said, could I please have a blanket? I'm feeling very cold, could I have a blanket? The lady said, you have $8? I'm like, $8? $8 for what? For the blanket. No, I don't want to buy the blanket. I just want the blanket because I feel cold. She said, well, we don't give blankets like that. If you want the blanket, you have to pay $8. I realized I am in the plane of a superpower. And this superpower does not have enough money to give the passenger a blanket for the time frame of the flight. While if you sit down in PIA, they will give you blankets, they will give you food. False evidence appearing real. And that was the false evidence that appeared real to the people of Kufa. It was that false evidence that appeared real to the people of Kufa, and because of that, the mothers took their sons. The daughters took their fathers. The sisters took their brothers. And as a Muslim, Ibn Akil was left alone. Do you know that 18,000 letters were sent to Imam Hussein? 18,000 letters were sent to Imam Hussein, and each letter said, "We need you. If you do not come, we will be finished. We love you. We do not have an Imam. We want an Imam." 300 million Shias around the world. Let's say 150 million are sending Ariza, a letter to Imam Zaman Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam every
day. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Let's say 50%. You know, Ariza, on the 15th of Shaban, on the birthday of the Imam, we write him a letter. In that letter, we write our needs. You know, we say, this is what I want, this is the list. Please come back. We love you. We want you. We need you. We are being oppressed. We have no one. We want you as our Imam. Please come. If 150 million Shias write letters every single year, that is 18 trillion letters in the last 1,200 years. 18 trillion letters have gone to the Imam of the time, but he's not willing to respond. He's not willing to respond. He's not willing to say, okay, I am coming. The Imam of the time, Imam Hussein, after 18,000 letters from the Kufa, from the people from Kufa, decided that I'll go. Are we with the same characteristics as the people of Kufa? Or do we have the same characteristics as the Ashab of Imam Hussein? He sends us a Muslim interpreter who is the wisest and the most knowledgeable, experienced person in Bani Hashim of that time, who had the ability to become a representative of Imam of the time. He sends him, go and see. And the people of Kufa convince him that they are with Imam Hussein. They convince him that we are with you, and the people who paid allegiance on his hand, it is not his hand, but the hand of Imam Hussein. Their allegiance that they broke their allegiance with not as a Muslim Akil, but they broke it with Imam Hussein Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then as a Muslim Akil realized that these people who are saying they are with Imam Hussein, they have fear. There are false evidence appearing real for them. They're afraid of their lives, of their wealth, of their family. They cannot be with Imam Hussein. But at that time, it was too late. What are we afraid of? Yesterday, when I said, if I say it again, you will be scared again. I'll just translate into English, group of Allah. Group of Allah. Who has defined the group of Allah to be a terrorist? Is there an ayat in Quran? Ayat in Quran says that the group of Allah is most certainly going to be the one who's going to succeed, overpower, win. Humul ghalibun. This is the verse of Quran. Is it Quran that I said? It is Rasul who has said? Is it Imam who has said? No. Who has said? So if you consider them to define your enemies and your friends, that is not Islam. There's two types of Islam. one is Islami Nabi Muhammadi. Salawat for Muhammad.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala Muhammad.
Chanti ho jaye na, Imam ke aane se pehle behtar hai. Before the Imam comes, there should be a screening. Our majlises are screening. So if tomorrow you don't show up, you're screened.
Narae Haidari.
Haidari.
It's better to find out who is Kufi today and who is in the camp of Imam Hussain. It's better to find out today than to find out when the Imam comes.
Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein. Labbaik ya Hussein.
Labbaik ya Hussein. Nare
Hadri.
Two types of Islam that were told to us by someone who said Islam gum shude ast. He said it's either you are on Islam Amerikai or you are on Islami Nabi
Muhammadi.
What is Islami Amerikai? Some people say, I'm an American Muslim. Someone says, I am an American Muslim. American Muslim? Islami? No. There was a person who, you know, before Iraq was occupied, now there was British who occupied it. There was a British general who heard the call of prayer. He said, what is this call? Allahu Akbar, Allah, what is this? He asked one of the interpreters. The interpreter said, you know, this is the call of prayer. People do that every day, five times a day. And, you know, they are calling each other for prayers. And this is what it means. And this is what it means. God is great and so forth. The general said, listen, I don't care about all of this. Only thing I want to find out whether this will have any effect in my occupation. Would this become a hindrance in my occupation? He said, no, sir. This will have no effect in your occupation. You should let them pray. Let them call out as many azans as they want to do. If they do five times, let them do 20 times. As long as it's not going to affect my agenda, let them pray. That salah is salah of Islami Amerikai. That namaz belongs in the Furu'e Deen of Islami Amerikai. It does not belong in the Islami Nabi Muhammadi Furu'e Deen.
Salawat!
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
The salah which is in Islami Nabi Muhammadi is the one that was recited in the battlefield of Karbala, where the salah was recited, and for that salah people were martyred so that the salah can be there. That salah gave them strength to fight the enemy of Yazid. That namaz-e-shab gave them strength to sacrifice their lives. That recitation of Quran on the ninth night gave them strength to fight the armies of Yazid. Qadr Qamat Salah.
Yali.
Qadr Qamat Salah.
Yali. Yali.
So, when you say Qadr Qamat Salah, what does it mean? Qadr Qamat Salah, you hear this all the time. Qadr Qamat Salah. Stand up for prayers? No. Come to prayers? No.
Prayers being.
No, come on the right path. No.
Prayers being started.
No, prayers being. No, that is. I'll tell you what it means.
Oh my God. Nobody knows.
Qadr qamat salam means that the salah, the namaz is about to stand. Not you stand. Not namaz is about to stand. Namaz is about to start. Not what else you said.
Start.
All of those. Qad qamat salam, namaz is about to stand. Who can stand? Someone who has strength. Who can fight? Someone who's standing. Salah, which is sitting down, cannot help you to go away from munkar and fush. Salah, which is sitting down, cannot help you to fight the occupation. Salah, which is sitting down, will not stop you from evil. Salah, which is standing, can stop you, will hold your hand. Do not go towards the munkar. Do not commit a bad deed. Do not go towards those things that are without purpose. That salah is part of Islam in Nabi Muhammad. That with that salah, the person gets the strength inside to sit down in the masjid of Kufa and say that you, the oppressor, should stop oppressing. 2 million, 2.5 million pray namaz together. But this salah does not have enough strength to tell the oppressors of the world that they're oppressing. That salah is part of this salah of Islam. You have to decide which Islam you have. You have to decide. Islam enough means pure Islam. Purity, you know, gold. Gold is pure. Can you find pure gold? Almost difficult, very, very impossible to find pure gold. That Islam which is pure is the Islam in Abu Muhammadi that the Prophet brought. That Islam which Imam Hussein saved is the one that is pure from everything which is not part of Islam. Amar bin Maruf on in Munkar is wajib or no? Wajib? Is it an obligation?
Yeah. No.
What kind of wajib is it? Is it the same as salah?
It's conditional.
Salah is wajib?
Yeah.
Amar bin Maruf on in Munkar is wajib. They're both the same. Lying is haram. Lying is haram. Is alcohol haram?
Yes.
Same way, lying is haram. Can you eat pig's meat?
No.
It's haram. Just the way like that, backbiting is haram. But we will let go of those, but we will. That is Islami Amrikai. It's not Islami Nabi Muhammad. The person who has Islami Nabi Muhammadi does not lie. The person who has Islami Nabi Muhammadi does not do backbiting. The person who has Islami Nabi Muhammadi does not tell tales. Okay. The person who has Islami Nabi Muhammadi does Amar bil Maruf wa Nahi anil Munkar. Is putting a voice against oppression wajib? It's wajib? If you don't put a voice against oppression, is it haram?
Haram.
Yes.
Haram. A person who has Islam in Abu Muhammadi puts a voice against oppression because it is an obligation. Not to do is haram, is a sin. Start looking at the difference now. A person who gets married with someone because of their wealth or status or the features of their face? Is that the right way to get married? Islam in Abu Muhammadi says that if you are a man, look at the woman, how she will be a mother to your children. Whether she will be able to raise this army of the 12th Imam or she will raise the enemies of the 12th Imam. That is how you will choose. When you choose a wife, you will see if she will be part of you, who together you will fight shaitan, your lowly desires, or you will fight with each other. Bibi, jihad ke andar aapki saathi mujahida hoti hai. The wife is not your enemy. She is your help. She is the soldier that you together will fight against oppression, injustice, against shaitan, against your lowly desires. She's a soldier. And you together will be able to fight shaitan. One will not be able to fight. How are we getting married? The way we get married is Islami Amrikai. Even in Islami Amrikai, some of the things might not be actually allowed, but we do it. What about raising our kids? I would like my son to become a doctor, a lawyer, engineer, and IT profession. If he prays namaz, it's okay. Okay, if he starts praying namaz, then they said something is wrong with him. Alana, ye bahut mazbi ho gaya, isko thoda samjhaye. Becoming a fundamentalist. You should teach him. Don't become a fundamentalist. You should teach him. My family members, when I started to go to Hausa, they said he's lost his mind. He's in Canada, and he's decided to go for religious sciences. He's lost his mind. What kind of person does that? Jenny, the way we will raise our kids, we will pick up a book, How to Raise Your Kids, published by James Walker.
Dr. Laura.
I don't know, there's somebody else who,
Dr. Phil.
This is what I was saying. How to raise your kids according to Dr. Phil. That's Islami
Amrikai.
Islami Nabi Muhammadi is Qala Jafar Sadiq alayhi salatu wa
salam. Salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
Qala Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ali Muhammad.
That's Islami Nabi Muhammad. In the end, because we have so many different things that we want to talk about, I will just finish on this. Imagine if Imam Hussein was alive today. Just for a moment, I need your attention and then we will be done. Imagine if Imam Hussain Sattu was alive today. What kind of job would he do? What kind of wife would he pick? What kind of father would he be? What kind of brother would he be? What kind of community member would he be? What would he do when he hears that an occupation is happening for the last 60 years? 1.5 million people or more? 1.5 million is in Iraq. What would Imam Hussein do when he reads the newspaper? What would he do when he sees the phosphorus falling on the people of the kids of Gaza? What would he do when he would see their bodies, their flesh burning and their bones coming out? What would he do if he was to find out that there were four kids who could not leave the dead body of their mother because they had nowhere else to go for 4 days? How and what state of his heart would it be that when he finds out, and in Pakistan, a 19-year-old went out to go to the Julus or to the masjid and came back in a casket? How would he feel that a mother is willing to sell her daughter for food in an Islamic, so-called Islamic government? How would he feel that the president of that Islamic government happens to be Mr. 10%? How would he feel that he had claimed insanity in the courts of Britain? How would he feel that the people who are taking care of Khana Kaaba are the ones who are going to Las Vegas to gamble and to cheer with wine with the oppressors of the world? How would he feel if he was to enter your house and find you without hijab? How would he feel if he was in the majlis and sees you without hijab? What if he was alive? Imam Hussein sees and knows every single action that you do. It is not only on Friday that the 12th Imam sees, but all of the Aimmah sees. What happens to his heart when he sees that the person who believes in me was sleeping at the time of Fajr? What happens to his heart? His heart starts beating faster. His blood starts boiling. His sweat starts coming. He says, was this what people got from my sacrifice? Was this what people got from my little daughter being slapped on her face? Is that what they took from Bibi Zainab being dragged in the streets of Kufa and Sham? Is that what they learned? Is that what they learned, that my son, with the iron brace in his neck, which had nails inside, who whenever he walked, these nails went inside of his neck, that in the sun, this iron bracelet would get hot and it would burn? Is that what they got? Why are they not like Hud? Why can't they see heaven and hell? Why can't they decide, after hearing my musibah, that they should choose heaven and not hell? What has happened to them? Is it the fault of their leaders? Is it the fault of their centers? Is it the fault of their parents? Is it the fault of their elders? Why are they in this state? Do you know that after Karbala, Imam Zain al-Abidin al-Salam for 35 years, if he looked at water, he cried. If he drank water, it would have the tears. If he sat down and ate, he cried. Do we cry when we look at water? Does our heart shake when we look at water, that this is the same water that we are able to drink so comfortably, while the kids, little kids of Ahlul Bayt, were left thirsty for 3 days? They had to go to Bibi Sakina and say, Bibi Sakina, they go,
हमारे पास पानी नहीं है. We don't have water. Please, can you say to your uncle Abbas, we need some water. Does our tears come out when we look at food? This food that you're able to eat after the musibah of Imam Hussain. The little kids, taras rehte bache ek roti ko, ek rukme ko. Just to have a one morsel of food for themselves. When Imam used to go to the streets, he would just look at the street, walk in the street, and he would start crying. Imam Zaman said that it was not the musibah of Hazrat Asghar, it was not the musibah of Hazrat Al-Yakbar, it was not the musibah of Hazrat Abbas, it was the musibah of Sham that makes me cry so much that when my tears have finished, my eyes, they cry tears of blood. If you could hear his cries today, if you could hear the cries of the Prophet of today, if you could, you would hear him crying and saying, Asham, Asham, Asham. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala curse the enemies of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us enough strength to be able to put our voice in the Prophet. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala.